Hello, dear listeners. You are on the podcast Research Lives and Cultures. I'm Sandrine Soub, and I'm sharing with you a series of very short interviews with academics. These interviews were recorded a few years ago, so people will have progressed in their career. Many of them will maybe have been research fellows or just lecturers when we interviewed them. And since these interviews took place, maybe they've already been promoted to being professors. Maybe they've changed institution. Maybe they have switched career. Who knows? Just giving you a little glimpse of the career at a point in time of these individuals who are sharing some wisdom, some insights, some key learnings that they've had during their research career. I hope that you enjoy these short interviews that were done, as I've said, several years ago. Still lots of insight to gain, lots of interesting ideas that you may acquire from listening to these interviews. I hope you enjoy them.
I'm Dr. Julie Hyde. I work here at the University of Sheffield in the chemistry department, and I'm involved with a range of things. My main duty as a senior university teacher is teaching. I teach in the undergraduate laboratories, and I teach lectures, I teach in tutorials, and I also teach abroad in China for approximately 3 months a year, laboratory chemistry as well. I'm also managing the Schools Laboratory and Schools Outreach. This is the Schools Lab, and hope you like it. And we do lots of things all of the time for the public and for school children. I've always been very interested in science, and really this was from my father particularly inspiring me when I was young. We used to go to the shed and do little experiments, and there were lots of things there that I tried. But from a school point of view, this wasn't as successful. And there wasn't the opportunities, and unfortunately I left school without any qualifications. But I was very, very keen to do science and carry on with my chemistry. I really did enjoy chemistry, and so I got a job in the chemical industry for several years. I got to play with chemicals every single day. Every single day you had new experiments, lots of things to find out, so it was really exciting. And it really developed my love of chemistry even more. At the same time, I studied part-time on a day release course, going to college one day a week. But while I was at college, one of my tutors suggested, had I considered going to do a degree full-time? And I certainly hadn't, because none of our family had come from that sort of background. I applied to one university, and that was Queen Mary University in London. And I was successful to get a place and started on my BSc in chemistry. After my degree from Queen Mary, I was very, very keen to do a PhD. That's really what I wanted to do. I loved the research. So I couldn't do this. I couldn't afford to do it. So I just started teaching, and eventually took on a full-time role in Sheffield. After teaching on vocational courses, especially industrially-related courses, and some academic courses for a while, my head of department asked people if they were interested in furthering their education. I was really interested to do a research degree, and a chance meeting with somebody from Sheffield University in the chemistry department through my Royal Society of Chemistry connections made this possible. And I wrote a letter to the head of department to ask if I could come and do research. My supervisor was happy to take me on to do a master's degree. Alongside working full-time in teaching, I used to teach for 4 days a week and come to university one day a week, and Saturday and Sunday if I could fit that in. And this was all a bit of a challenge, but the first 3 years went quite well, and we decided that I should continue with a PhD, but branch into crystallography as well as organometallic chemistry. And it took me 9 years to complete, including the writing up, but all of the time I was working full-time. It was difficult, it was amazing, and the people in my research laboratory here at Sheffield University were very supportive, and we had this little agreement that if I needed anything of an evening to to put a reaction on, to monitor a reaction, I'd write a note on the blackboard, and then I'd come in and they'd get everything ready for me, like liquid nitrogen or anything I might need. So I had great support from the people here in my research group over the 9 years. But I also had great support from my teaching colleagues as well, because it's hard to do a PhD part-time. Very difficult, and at times there'll be lows when you don't get very many results. And on those times, you know, I talk to my teaching colleagues now, go for it, don't give it up, keep on at it. I'd tell my own students, I was doing research, cutting edge research at the same time. So it was all very exciting. And but fortunately, I got my PhD, and then lots and lots of different opportunities arose from there. After my PhD, I appreciate that I had a great new set of skills. And I talked to my supervisor and thought that maybe I'd go into research, maybe a postdoc, something like this. And he said, well, yeah, but you are a people person. Maybe you'd be better to stay in the teaching side of things. So I decided to stay on in FE. As I was teaching there, I got an opportunity to teach on the PGCE at Sheffield University for 3 years on the chemistry side, which was a good opportunity. And then there was a lot of restructuring happening at work, and a management role came up for our department. So I applied for the head of department for the dental science department, and I took that role on for 5 years, growing the department to double its size, animal care, dental science, and pharmacy. And it was a great role. I enjoyed it, but I was missing chemistry. I was getting further and further away from chemistry. I did some research and found my current job quite by accident at the University of Sheffield. Thought I would apply and see if this would be what I wanted to do. And it was perfect. And I took the role on as a teaching fellow, but fairly quickly I've been able to, and successfully, to move up through university teacher, and I'm now a senior university teacher. And really, it gave me a lot of opportunities. Throughout my career, I've been involved with the Royal Society of Chemistry pretty much as soon as I graduated. I became a member. Moving on, I became a chartered chemist. And more recently, I became a fellow of the Royal Society of Chemistry, which I'm proud of. And through the whole of this time, I've had the opportunity to link with other teachers through the Royal Society of Chemistry. I've managed to attend different courses to enhance my own teaching and learning, network with other people. And I've also been involved locally and nationally with outreach events. We put on a lot of various chemical activities for kids to come and take part in and really be inspired. And it's really important to inspire young people about chemistry. I feel quite lucky that the RSC work has allowed me to do that, both locally and nationally, where I've now recently set up the secondary and further education group, and where all teachers come and meet at conferences and are able to share ideas, talk about new practices. So we're all developing our teaching. This has really moved on a little bit to the work that I do in China. On that degree, I think a lot about my teaching as ever, how to deliver it clearly and concisely to students whose first language is not English, but also make sure that they really enjoy the chemistry and that I can try and inspire them with the practical work as well. As a result of the work in China, it's been very exciting. I've been able to write about the programme that I set up and delivered. In fact, it's been really good because in July 2016, I've managed to publish in Education in Chemistry an article on collaborative courses in China, and it's very exciting to get that publication. I've been very lucky because I've really wanted to do chemistry in the whole of my life, as you can tell, from a very young age, and I've been able to do that, and still I'm able to teach chemistry at university. It's been a great opportunity. It's not always been a direct opportunity because I've come from a very unusual background, and I think my career will show people that you don't have to follow the traditional routes, you don't have to get the traditional qualifications, but you can actually get your qualifications by part-time routes and different ways. And these allow lots of doors to be opened. And so you can still come into teaching academia through these various routes. If you do want to teach in any sector, whether you want to teach in higher education or in secondary, I would always advise everyone to look at the different societies, the Chemical Society, the Biology Society, the Physics Institute, really to help and guide you, get your ideas for teaching, and so that you know exactly what pathways to follow. I would always say, don't ever be put off. Follow your heart. You've got to do what you've got to do. Don't let nobody stop you, as they would say. And I really do think that you'll make a good career of whichever pathway you choose.